John's Gospel, chapter 15, and the first 17 verses. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. "I am the true vine," he says, "and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy might be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other."
So if you have your Bibles, please would you turn with me back to John 15. I'd love you to follow the verses from the Gospel of John as we look together at the true vine. I wonder if you noticed how obsessed we've become with these things. I guess you've all got one in your handbag or your pocket or nearby. And how frustrating it is, isn't it, when it says, "Oh, no connection." We've had a little bit of a glimpse of an experience of that this evening, where we're going to sing a song and the words, for some reason, don't come on the screen. We've got Wi-Fi, we've got Bluetooth, hotspots, have you heard of those, Mike? And cloud storage. We're connected to everything, everywhere, aren't we? Except sometimes Jesus. And of course, our connections never fail, or do they? That moment you really need a connection and it drops for no apparent reason. You might be in the middle of a Zoom call. Anybody experienced that? And your face, or the face of the person at the other end of the Zoom call, freezes. Often looks quite unflattering, isn't it? And I guess no one's ever experienced that in this room. Well, my big frustration, and Krista's too, with technology is persuading my computer to talk to my printer. I don't know if anybody else has had that frustration. It can be so, so irritating when you press the button print and it says the printer cannot be found. Well, we know it's just there. Well, in John 15, Jesus talks about a connection far more vital than the internet, doesn't he? He says, I am the vine in verse 5. You are the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, as we heard in the prayer this evening, you can do nothing. He's describing in this passage, my friends, what it means to live in daily, life-giving connection to him. And these verses really do set out for us the basis of Christian living. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper into this passage. You'll be pleased to learn that this evening we have our standard three headings, which will appear on the screen, each one with that theme of connection. So our first connection is connected to the gardener. And we read in the first three verses about God's loving pruning. Let's read from verse 1, shall we, together. I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean, he says, because of the word I have spoken to you. So you'll see from these first few verses that there are two types of branches. Branches that bear fruit and branches that do not. And the immediate context, we've been working our way through John's Gospel, haven't we, for these past weeks. The immediate context is that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. It really is very close now to the time where Jesus will begin that walk to Calvary. We'll be reading about that in these next few weeks. So we all know that Judas was there with the disciples. But bear in mind that the branches that bear no fruit at all represent all of those people who are simply not connected to Jesus. Those branches will be taken away. He says that quite clearly. Now, the image that Jesus is speaking of, the vine and the branches and the fruit, it would have clicked instantly for his listeners. You see, in the Old Testament, Israel was often called God's vine. You'll know that because you're all Bible scholars, aren't you, here this evening? But sadly, it was a vine that it failed to produce good fruit. Isaiah speaks of this in chapter 5. I wonder if you'd turn with me just briefly to Isaiah chapter 5. Let's look together at just those first few verses. So again, we're on page 484 in our blue Bibles, Isaiah chapter 5. And you'll see when you find chapter 5 that this passage is called the Song of the Vineyard. So we'll start from verse 1, I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one, Isaiah is talking here about the Lord, my loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up, he cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and he cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now, verse 3, now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? when I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge. It will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. And in verse 7 we read, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but he saw bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. So in contrast, if you flick back to John 15, Jesus is saying to his disciples, I am the true vine, the vine that bears the fruit God always wanted. This is the final I am that John records in his gospel. And the Father, well, the Father is the gardener, carefully tending his vine. He cuts off dead branches. He prunes the fruitful ones to make them even more fruitful. Now, if you've ever done any pruning, you know that it can actually look quite brutal. And for those of you here this evening who know what you're doing in your garden, that really is wonderful. There are two people that live at our house. And as for me, well, just ask my wife. I've been known to make plenty of mistakes when pruning in my garden, like the time I thought I was cutting back weeds, when in fact I was preventing beautiful alliums from achieving their potential. And a friend of mine once tried pruning his wife's precious rose bush. He proudly went in and said, I think I've done a great job. Well, she went outside and she gasped, do you say here? And she said, you haven't pruned it, you've murdered it. But sure enough, the next spring it exploded with flowers. That's what God does in our lives, you know. He cuts back, he removes, he reshapes parts of us that are unhelpful. Our pride, our comforts, our bad habits, our misplaced priorities. And yes, it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts, my friends. But he's not punishing us. He's preparing us to bear more fruit, to be more like Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 11, says it perfectly, I think. Hebrews says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness. And please be reassured by Christ's comment. He says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So what I want to say to you this evening is, if you are in a season right now where God seems to be pruning you and you feel that it's painful, please take heart. Please take heart. You're not being abandoned. You're being cultivated. Stay connected to the gardener. His pruning knife is guided by love. And our second point is that we're to connect or stay connected to the vine, drawing life from Jesus himself. Jesus, when we get to verse 4, he kind of turns the focus to the heart of it all. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5 says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Remain in me, he says, as I also remain in you. That word remain in some translations, abide, abide in me as I also abide in you. It appears again and again, 11 times in this passage. 11 times. Clearly, Jesus wants us to get it, doesn't he? The word remain is evidence that salvation has already taken place. We remain in him. So the abiding believer that stays connected to him is the legitimate believer. Verse 6 speaks of destruction and judgment for those who do not believe, those who do not remain in him, who are not abiding. So to abide, what does that mean? It means to stay close, to dwell, to live continually in that relationship with him, to stay connected. It's not a quick Sunday top-up once a week that we need. It's not an occasional check-in with God. It's a daily dependence. It's a living connection. You see, the branch doesn't try to bear fruit. The branch just stays connected to the vine, and the fruit is the natural outcome of that connection. Do you see? Jesus is so clear, isn't he? Verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. If that branch is not connected to the vine, it's never going to produce any fruit. Well, for us, that is humbling, isn't it? We could do nothing, as John said in his prayer, we could do nothing of any eternal value apart from him. Not ministry, not worship, not godly living. Apart from him, nothing. I wonder, do you find that sometimes you act a bit like a spiritual toddler who says, I can do it myself? Parents of young children will be able to relate to that, or if you've ever had young children, I can do it, Mommy. I don't need your help. You know, the moment we let go of Jesus, the moment we become disconnected, the power just drains out. So we can't just hang a few Christian decorations on our lives and expect fruit to grow. As I heard someone say a little while ago, just sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car. It's the connection to Christ that gives life. And without him, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Not a little bit, not your best effort, nothing. So let's think about that for a moment. A branch that's cut off when you've been doing your pruning in the garden, it may still look green, yes, for a little while, but soon it begins to wither. And that's what happens spiritually when we drift from Christ. The outward appearance, it might hold for a bit, but inside, the life has gone. I read a lovely story this week about a pastor who visited a man who'd stopped coming to church. And they sat quietly by an open fire in his front room. And as they sat, the pastor used the tongs to take one of the glowing coals out of the fire, and he placed it on the hearth. Slowly it faded, and it became ash grey colour. And then he picked up the tongs and he put this grey coal back into the fire, and it burst into flame again. Well, the man looked up at the pastor and he said, "I'll be there on Sunday." That's what abiding looks like, staying close to the heat of Jesus and to his people. When we drift away, our faith cools. And if any of you have experienced a time like that in your life, where you've just maybe stopped going to church, you've drifted away, you've become disconnected, you know what I mean. And when we reconnect, that fire returns, doesn't it? Friends, we need to look out, don't we, for folk who might be drifting away. Folk we haven't seen maybe in church for a few weeks. Well, hold on to that thought. It will become even more relevant when we get to our final point. So how do we stay connected to the vine, Stuart, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you asked, although I think you know the answer. We stay connected through reading his word, through prayer, through obedience, through fellowship. That's the power source of the Christian life. And as we do, verse 8 says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." What kind of fruit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit. As we read in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. The kind of life that brings glory to God. Because when we stay connected, when we are committed to God's word and we're devoted to God's will, then God's life literally flows through us. And the wonderful thing is that the world around us sees Jesus. Do you see that in verse 9? "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." We see in Jesus, if you like, he set the perfect model by his perfect obedience to his Father. And we're to follow that model, and we will be filled with his joy. That same joy that Christ experienced through his relationship with the Father. So we're to stay connected to the gardener, we're to stay connected to the vine, and finally, connected to each other. Loving each other as friends of Jesus. So in this last section, 12 to 17, if we could put that on the screen, please, that'd be great. 12 to 17, Jesus changes the image. Just slightly, he moves from branches and vines to friendship. That deep, deep friendship, which is so special. Let's read now from verse 12. Verse 12 says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." I've said already this evening so many times it's important that we stay connected. I read a lovely story this week about a little old lady who lived in Ireland, in a quite a remote part of Ireland, and she was reflecting on the time when electricity was first connected to her house. I don't know if any of us are old enough to remember that. I can't quite remember it. But she had a knock on the door one evening. She'd had the electricity installed for some months, and the man came to read the meter because he was a bit concerned that she didn't seem to be using very much electricity. So he asked her, "Do you actually use the electricity that you have?" She said, "Yes, every night when it gets dark, I switch on the light just long enough to light all the candles in my house, and then I switch it off again." That sounds so much like my dad, actually. But she had all the power, she had the connection, but she wasn't making use of that wonderful source of electricity. And I think, is that us sometimes? Now notice in verse 12 that this is a commandment. Jesus commands us. He doesn't say, "Well, if you like, you can love one another." He commands us to love one another just as he loves us, even if that means laying down our lives. Wow. Isn't that incredible? The same love that the Father has for the Son is now poured out on us. We're not just servants or followers. We're friends. Verse 15, I've just read, "I no longer call you servants. Instead, I've called you friends." True friendship with Jesus produces something quite beautiful. It produces love for one another. And you see what it says in verse 12. That is the fruit that lasts, my friend. How did Jesus love us? Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's the gospel. If it means that you're reading this or you're listening to this for the first time this evening, right there is the good news of the gospel, isn't it? Jesus didn't just talk about love. He demonstrated it for us on the cross. And now he calls us to show that same self-giving love in our homes, with our families, behind closed doors when no one's looking, and in our church and in our community. I heard someone once say, "You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving." Let me say that again. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You know, when we're connected to Jesus, we start to give, don't we? Time, forgiveness, care, kindness, just as he gave himself for us. And look with me, would you, at verse 16. What a promise this is. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." Fruit that will last. Friends, we are chosen. We're loved. We're sent out to bear fruit that doesn't spoil, it doesn't fade. The fruit of changed lives. And Jesus makes it clear, just in case there's any spiritual pride existing amongst the disciples, he makes it absolutely clear that this privilege is not because of what they've done, it's because they've been chosen. Just like you and me. God chose Israel not for any merit, and God chose believers to enjoy salvation apart from any merit. So let's stay connected to each other, bound together by the love of Christ. Because when we love one another, well then the world gets a glimpse of the vine. So in conclusion, three connections to keep alive. connected to the gardener. Please trust his pruning. Connected to the vine, we're to draw our life from Jesus every day, and connected to each other, to love as Christ has loved you. You may have been on your Christian journey for many years now. And tonight, if your faith feels a bit dry or a bit disconnected, let me say this to you. Remember, the power isn't in the branch. The power is in the vine. So stay plugged in. Talk to him. Walk with him. And as his life flows through you, fruit will come. Not by striving, but by abiding. And next time you see that dreaded message on your phone or your computer, no connection, well, may that remind you of John 15. Jesus is the true vine. Let's stay connected. May God bless you.